Welcome to Healing Your Families. I'm your family relationship coach, Emmalou Penrod. And in this program, we cover six areas of help for families: emotional, financial, mental, physical, social, and spiritual. And I'm really honored to have my coach as my guest today. I just finished her 90-day balanced blueprint program, and just she has so much content. It was so inspiring. I got so much out of it. So, Donna, our
It's a pleasure to be here, Emmalou. And as you were naming those categories, I'm like, I am a life mastery coach. So we could talk about them all
we can.
because my passion is to help people master life. And all of those areas are part of it. So where would you like to begin with all this?
Well, our focus this month has been on this mental wellness. We've talked about becoming a lifelong learner. And that's what I got as I took your program. I got so much about what's going on in your mind. What are you thinking? And that power of your thoughts to create a life.
And one of my favorite Bible verses is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And when we talk about our mental wellness, we don't realize how much thinking is going on below the surface, perhaps your subconscious. It's just happening. For example, I'll use one of the examples in my marriage. So when my husband and I were first married, I was extremely insecure. And if you go back and listen to my history and my upbringing and the trauma that I incurred, you'll understand. But he would say, "Oh, honey, you look nice today." And I on the inside was, "He didn't tell me that yesterday. I must have looked awful." And so, do you get that? It's like he's giving me a compliment, and I am internally not accepting this and dismissing it so that somehow I don't deserve this. And all of this is going on in our thoughts. And, we're not going to get into the upper limit stuff, but our upper limit of blessing. And so, he jokingly said to me the other day, "You look nice." And I went, "Thank you." And he goes, "Well, in the past, you would have said, 'Did I not look nice yesterday?'" And I'm like, "Well, that was a long time ago." So, have you encountered anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Learning to accept a compliment. Why is that so hard?
Well, that's a deep question on why we think we don't deserve or we have a hard time receiving it. A lot of times we say we want to be humble, but it usually goes deeper than that. And so when we talk about our mental health and that is it goes back to our identity. And one of the things I've said that I love to do in Vibrant Living, and that is the organization that I started, is I want to stop identity theft. And I'm not talking about your credit card. I'm talking about all those things that we say we can't do, or we're not good enough, or all the things that we've been taught that actually steals our identity. I'll use myself for an example, and then perhaps you have a story that resonates with it. I grew up and I used to, when I was a very younger child, I would sing songs, I would create plays, I was not afraid to be seen. Well, then life happened and I began to hide. And being seen wasn't a positive thing. It was critical, criticized. I was bullied in school. So it was don't be noticed. I wanted desperately for friends, but I'm hiding at the same time. This push and pull of who we really are. And as I began to develop this, it was fine when before everything went online. And you have to put all of your stuff on social media and And you're doing videos, and everybody in around the world can see you. And I'm like panicking through all of this and understanding that things that happened had stolen who I really was and how we can shine and allow that to be more more visible and true.
I can totally relate to that. We're in fact taught that it's selfish to want to take center stage, that we should let other people focus on them. And, you know, I think sometimes life circumstance can even rob us of our humanity. We can begin to feel like objects.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We forget who we are. We forget that we have a divine creator.
Yes.
And as the saying goes, he doesn't make any junk.
No, he doesn't. And the more that I can be comfortable in who I am, in my identity, or you can, then we're truly able to focus on other people. So when I am secure in who God created me to be, and you may be having a bad day and they say not so nice things to me. I can't ever imagine that, but I'm sure it's happened in your lifetime.
Yes.
And then I am secure in who I am, even though it may appear to be an attack. I can, in my confidence, say, Emma Lou, what's going on today? And I'm not making it about me. Now, how that affects family and how that affects relationships changes the more that I can be secure in who I am. Finding what's important, why was I here on this earth, is one of the most profound questions. And we think that a lot of times it needs to be super grandiose. Not that me just being here isn't enough. It's what am I also doing? And I quit just being and become a human doing instead of a human being. And the fact that you're in the room changes everything. You matter. You're important. Before you do, just you being you. And the more that we can get that concept, the more that we can realize that, then we can have better families, better lives filled with purpose and peace. Anyway, those are some thoughts.
I love them. I love them. You know, quite often as wives and mothers, it's like we have this checklist. This is everything we must do. And we can become so caught up in this round of activities that exhaust us that we end the day wondering, what is my purpose? Why am I here?
Yeah.
So if we start the day with a purpose, identity, knowing who we are. And, you know, if you're a mother, God has entrusted you. He's given you this sacred calling. And understanding that and accepting your role as a mother.
Yeah.
Gives you purpose. You can see the long term. You're not just dealing with the toddler having a tantrum. You are helping one of his precious children learn how to manage their body, their emotions, and grow to become an independent adult who can give back.
Yeah, it's important in the middle of all of those times. I did not do a good job at this, so it's much easier for me to tell other people. But to take care of ourselves as mothers as well and not feel guilty for whatever that is that recharges us. It doesn't usually take a lot of time, just 10 minutes without somebody saying, Mom, just let me go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It doesn't usually take a lot. One of the other things that I learned is our huge to-do list is to create that a master list. And then from that, create three things I need to get done today. We never write down all the things that we really do. One of my favorite, it was a short video. It was an image. A husband comes home from work, and kids are hanging from cabinets, and there's peanut butter and jelly all over the place, and toys are everywhere, and all the dishes are out, and clothes are on the floor. And he's like, thinking something happened to her. He's like, starts calling her name. Where are you? What's wrong? Something wrong? And he comes in and she's laying in bed and she's got some, something to eat and she's reading a book and goes, "What happened here today?" He goes, "Well, you asked me everything I do, and today I decided not to do it." Because we don't take into account all the things that we do all day long. And all of the things that we take. And so cherish and celebrate all the things. Sometimes it's fun to write down everything you do. It's rather exhausting, but it's kind of fun to notice all the things that I actually do as a mom throughout the day, referee, all the titles we have. And celebrate that and learn to, for our mental health, finding ways to recharge. And to take care of us in the midst of the busyness of life is something I wished I'd have learned how to do earlier. It was not until my health really began to deteriorate and things like that that I'm like, I have got to take care of me. Let's not wait for those wake-up calls. Let's begin to learn how to set an example for our girls, especially. That it's okay to take care of ourselves as we're thinking about mental health and being the best, and being content and happy and peace. All of that is part of the whole picture.
That's true. And, when we make those negative comments, when we look in the mirror and start making those negative comments, and we're looking at our body and we're starting to, and we just notice the flaws, our daughters pick up on that. And they begin to follow that example.
One of the exercises I do in one of my programs is I call it a mirror exercise. And I have each client look in the mirror every day for a week until they get back together with me and say, "I love you," and complete the sentence. "I am proud of you," or "I celebrate you for," and "I forgive you." And nobody likes it. Nobody likes to look at themselves in the mirror.
It's like we're not
But
on speaking terms with ourselves.
absolutely, we're not. And we avoid looking at ourselves in the eye. It's really funny. But that's a really powerful exercise to do with anyone. Not just yourself, but when we're talking about our own mental health, we don't forgive ourselves very easy.
No, we can forgive anyone else.
Perhaps that's a
But not
subject for
ourselves.
another
Sounds
day,
like that. Sometimes it's easier to forgive other people.
but we don't forgive ourselves, or we don't think about, if I'm hard on myself, I'll do better. I'm here to tell you that doesn't
We
work.
feel like we're whipping ourselves into shape.
Absolutely. It doesn't work.
No.
It, what, whatever you judge, you repeat. And if you're hard on yourself for eating the cookie, you'll be eating a cookie before the day is over.
That's so true. So I love that. And I found that helped me. When I remember who I am a daughter of God and He loves me. And when I start there, I remember you mentioned the mirror, going through that, just looking in the mirror and just seeing the flaws and what needed to be fixed. And it wasn't until I was about 40 years old that I finally looked in the mirror and thought, I have been looking at this face for a long time now, and it really isn't a bad face. In fact, I like it. And I remember how liberating that was to finally decided I like my face.
I was having a pity party one time, telling God all the things that had gone wrong in my life and how it wasn't fair. That can be a long list. Oh, and I felt like God spoke to my heart. Do you like you? Do you like who Donna is? And it's like it stopped me in my mid-complaining spew. I'm like, well, yeah, I actually do. She's pretty cool. And he's like, you wouldn't be who you are without those challenges, without those things that happened that you're complaining about. You wouldn't be who you are. And I'm like, okay, I was done, you know. And it was just like, but learning to, we could talk about gratitude in our mental health and the effects of finding things to be grateful for. Complaining does nothing for your mental health.
No.
Absolutely nothing about anyone and anything, including the government, including anything. I'm talking anything. It doesn't help your mental health.
The car that
And so,
cut in front of you on the freeway. No,
anything.
complaining.
Somebody who took your parking place, someone who, whatever it is, someone who, you know, didn't return your text when you thought they should. It's all of the things. Complaining is like poison. And so gratitude is invigorating. It is brings life. It attracts more of what you want. So if you can only look at your eyes or your nose or whatever and go, I'm thankful that I have this. And your stretch marks and be thankful for your children.
Yes.
You know, whatever it is that you want in, you know, and then we talk about our kids who don't pick up after themselves, or our husband who doesn't do XYZ. It's like turning that around and choosing all the things about them you're thankful for, and tell them instead of complaining has so changes relationships. It changes you as
Yeah,
well.
I enjoy being around someone who's grateful.
Absolutely.
They're much more pleasant.
Yes. And you want to be around them, you attract more friends, you have deeper relationships, and you're like yourself better. And that's one of the most important relationships, is finding ways, all of the little things that you take for granted. And you only have to travel to a more poverty-stricken country to realize all of the things we were thankful for. When my son was in Afghanistan and all of the things they didn't have that we took for granted, I remember having to deal with anger at all the people who were complaining that a TV show wasn't back on and my son is trying to keep his life. We take so many things for granted. And so learning to look around and be, this all improves our mental health.
Finding the joy in life, and there is joy.
Absolutely.
I love that. So, identity. Start with a clear idea of who you are and your purpose. And then use gratitude. Now, can we get into forgiveness? I know that's a huge part. Forgiving ourselves, and I think there's that mistaken notion that if we forgive someone, that means that their offense doesn't matter. We're letting them off the hook. We're
They're
saying
getting
it was
away with it.
okay. They're getting away with it. What have you found?
It is all of the things that I hear people say, but it's not true because everyone reaps what they sow. You don't always see the harvest, but everyone does reap what they sow. And so me holding bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone, I'm going to reap that harvest. And it's not really a crop I want. Me holding unforgiveness towards someone, and if you've heard my story, I have legitimate reasons to be angry if I wanted to be.
Yes.
But I don't. But it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person is affected.
Yes.
And so when we can learn to realize that me being mad at them, they don't give a hoot. They don't really care.
No.
They aren't thinking about us. They aren't concerned about us most of the time. And it is not hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing forgiveness is I'm letting go. I call it the real estate, that portion they have in your brain where you keep going about it.
Yeah.
And they hold that place.
Well, that takes your energy.
It takes your energy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so learning not to just forgive yourself, but forgiving others. I created a forgiving practice, and every so often I'll say, is there anyone I need to forgive? Mm-hmm. And on the littlest offense, I'm not having any of it in my life. And the other really serious thing is if I hold unforgiveness, it affects my relationship with God.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, but nobody's worth that.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, if you don't want to understand what I mean,
yes,
that offense is not worth it,
yeah,
to hinder my relationship with God, or neither do I want to sow that, reap that harvest. So learning, one of the easiest ways that God explained when I had going through my trauma healing was forgiveness is like an onion. It's in layers. So I peel one layer and I cry. Onions always make me cry, so I use that for an example. And then I go on and I forgave the capacity that I could at that moment. I'm going along my life innocently, and something happens and I feel triggered. I feel angry again. And then I'm like, I'm mad at myself because I've forgiven, right?
Right, right.
Then I'm mad at myself, going, what's the matter with you? Can't you do this right? And so then we've leaped on judgment on top of the anxiety or trigger that it's occurred. Not helpful.
Nope.
If we can remember that each time something comes up, it's the Holy Spirit taking you deeper into healing. And so when it occurs again, or if it occurs again, just go, I'm forgiving deeper. Mm-hmm. I am letting go deeper. And that takes you on a amazing journey. Usually I cry. Usually something's going on, but I'm not stepping into judgment, anger, condemning.
Mm-hmm.
I've stepped into forgiveness and love. And now I allow the Holy Spirit to heal me even more.
Yes.
So if we can remember an onion and forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
it will help set you free.
Thank you, Donna. I love that. The identity, the purpose, the loving and accepting ourselves, the forgiveness, these are all wonderful ways to take care of our mental well-being. So I know that the program I took, the Balance Blueprint, is just one of the many programs you offer. Can you tell us a little bit more about your services and how do people contact
Yes.
you?
The easiest way to get in touch with me is my website. It is the letter I, vibrantliving.com. And on my homepage has all of the different programs. The Balanced Blueprint Academy is there as well. And I have been coaching for over 25 years, so I've got a little bit of stuff. And
We've just touched on a small part of it. You definitely need to come on again. So keep talking.
One of my first programs was called Turn Your Baggage into Luggage so you can have the life you've dreamed. So helping us to overcome those pain points, those disappointments, perhaps even trauma would be a word, to help them overcome and get our identity back so that we can be all that we created to be. And so that's one of my programs. I have another one called Choose Joy and how to overcome anxiety, the mental health issues and things like that. Depression, things along those lines. That's another one. The Balanced Blueprint Academy, which you went through to help people who want to make an impact in the world, do it from a place of ease, doing it the easy way. Press the easy button. and
What do you
doing it like
recommend?
that. So
Yes.
yeah, and then another one is called Life by Design, Not by Default. And that is create helping you to create a life you want on purpose, because you are the creator or co-creator of your life. Life is not happening to you, it is happening with you. And
Yes.
so many times we feel like we're a cork on a big water that's in movement, like a river. We're being bounced around by everything. And I'm going to show you how to control that and to be able to have the life you want, not to feel like you're just being bumped around by circumstances. So all of these together lead to, I want people to live vibrantly. I want people to live with excitement and anticipation, not same old, same old. So that you can really live. One of the thick quotes that I've heard is some people, let's say we start at age 20 and they live to 70. I believe people were going to live a lot longer than that, but that's my analogy because the numbers are easy. So between 20 and 50, or between 20 and 70 is 50 years. So some people live those 50 years. Or do they live 1 year 50 times? Because
Ooh.
it's the same old, same old, same old.
Yeah.
Which way do you want? Do you want 50 years of living or 1 year 50 times? And so when we can see, I want you to live vibrantly, fully, overflowing with extravagance and capacity and abundance. That's what I'm about.
Oh, Donna, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me. And definitely, as you mentioned, we got to have you back. We talk about spiritual well-being, spiritual health, and thank you so much. And emotional well-being. I've learned so much from you. Thank you so much for joining.
My pleasure.
And for my viewers, join me again next week at the same time. Let's make the world a better place by
Absolutely.
strengthening families.
Absolutely.
This is Emmalou Penrod with healingyourfamilies.com.